Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeFay. And today's date is April the 3rd, 2019. And as I said, welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeFay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that the slogan for the show is, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs by historically Black colleges and universities, also to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and underemployment of young African-Americans, also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative. Also, it's brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, you can contact Scotton, Scotton, communicationsnetwork.com. That's Scotton, communicationsnetwork.com. All one word. Well, as we've indicated to you, welcome to another exciting edition of this platform, Solar Now in the Future, Impact on Black America, and we're broadcasting live over the airways of Blog Talk Radio. We're streaming over Facebook and Twitter. Now, most of you who join us on a regular basis, as I've indicated at the top of our show, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we have a very, very special show for you today. We hope to be joined by our guest a little later in the top of this hour. But to lead off our show today, we're going to be talking about the 2019 Montgomery County Energy Summit which is being held here in the DMV market area, and this event is going on as we speak. The Montgomery County Energy Summit has annually offered cutting-edge education focused on the latest trends in commercial energy efficiency, renewable energy, and related topics in Montgomery County. Their core audience includes building owners, property managers, energy contractors, and other green building professionals working in the county and the larger DMV area. The full-day conference of events will include keynote presentations, breakouts, education sessions, and an expo area featuring the latest in sustainable products and services. It also provides a breakfast and a lunch and a post-event reception. Montgomery County Department of Environment Protection is the co-host of this event, along with the U.S. Green Building Council and the National Capital Region. For the past 5 years and counting, the Montgomery County Energy Summit has annually offered cutting-edge education focused on the latest trends in commercial energy efficiency, renewable energy, and related topics in Montgomery County. This year's event, which is themed, the theme is Focus on the Here and Now, include, as I said, keynote speakers for the breakout education section. And the expo area features, as I said, the latest in sustainable products and services. Now, this event is catered to and their what you would consider core audience includes building owners, property managers, energy contractors, and other green building professionals working in the county and the larger DMV area. Now, this event is taking place in Silver Spring, Maryland. For those who are in the DMV area, they are very, very aware of Silver Spring, Maryland, but if you're not in the DMV market area, Silver Spring, Maryland, Montgomery County is located adjacent to Washington, D.C., on the north borderlines of Washington, D.C. When you enter into Maryland, that is Montgomery County, and the location of the event is the Silver Spring Civic Building, which is One Veterans Place, Silver Spring, Maryland. Zip code is 209. The category of business, community, events, and environmental protection. The event is for adult seniors. Now, when we began to look at what is going on with this particular event, it's an annual event. Well, why is this event important? This event is important if you are interested in being and getting in the renewable energy industry. And specifically, they will have members there speaking on and the various programs that are available through the Green Bank in Montgomery County. And as we beat the drum around the PACE program, which is a clean energy property assessment program, passed public benefit, public policy passed by Congress, which looks at green renewable infrastructure upgrades the same way as sewer and water. So why is this important to the black community? It's important because this PACE program is serving as a national financing infrastructure model. Now, we have to look at what is going on in our immediate environments and what is going on outside of that environment. Because what you do not know will come to haunt you in an economic system. Now, if you have been following this show, you know that I've spoken about the, recently did a show about the Mid-Atlantic PACE Alliance, and as I indicated, PACE programs offer long-term private financing for renewable energy and energy efficiency upgrades to homes and businesses. PACE enables legislation active in 36 states plus the District of Columbia, and PACE programs are now actively launched and operating in 20 states plus the D.C. That is commercial PACE. There is a very, very important distinction between commercial and residential PACE. Residential PACE is currently offered in California, Florida, and Missouri. Now, you can log on to the PACE, P-A-C-E-N-A-T-I-O-N, nation.us/PACE-programs, and you will be able to pull up the map. Once you begin to look at this map, it breaks down all of the states which offer PACE programs. It breaks it down by states. It breaks it down by county. When you look at the map in its totality, you'll find out that Arkansas Advanced Energy Equity Program is available for commercial in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Pulaski County PACE Program in Little Rock, Arkansas, commercial. Then you go into the state of California, because this is only available in two counties in the state of California, Arkansas. What is very important to know about this PACE program is that it can be passed by your local municipal governments, whether it be county, city, or state government. And it's very, very important because it provides an opportunity for billions of dollars of financing to come in from the private sector, specifically for commercial PACE. But once the program is passed for commercial PACE, it's already passed for residential, but it has to be implemented. And local governments, such as the District of Columbia here in Washington, D.C., has tied into the financing mechanism what is considered called the Green Bank. Green banks are passed by local municipal governments, as I've indicated, to look at how they can provide a financing arm for renewable energy infrastructure. And in the District of Columbia, you have approximately $1.8 billion worth of renewable energy infrastructure. Well, the issue is, how is this paid for? What role does the citizens of the District of Columbia, what do they contribute to that? Well, you will find out that the Green Bank of Washington, D.C., if you are a D.C. resident, and if you haven't been listening to this show, you know we beat the drum very serious around the passing of Bill Green Omnibus Act of 2018, which increased the what we like to explain and make it plain on this show to our listening audience, renewable portfolio standard laws. The original renewable portfolio standard law in the District of Columbia was originally signed into law and passed into law in 2016, which there was a 50% renewable portfolio standard with a 5% carve-out for solar energy. Now, in that renewable portfolio standard, it breaks down how that energy is generated and where that energy must come from. And by law in the District of Columbia, it must come from the physical landmass of the District of Columbia. Well, the local utility provider in the District of Columbia is Pepco, which is a subsidiary of Exelon. Exelon is basically one of your large utility conglomerates, which BG&E and others are subsidiaries. So when we begin to look at the entire makeup of your PACE program and how it relates to this issue, is the fact that in the legislation that was passed by the DC Council in December and signed into law on January the 18th, 2019, Mayor Bowser signed the legislation, and it set forth the funding of the set fees, which will be the financing and capitalization trigger or mechanism to finance this green bank. When you look at what will be discussed today at the Montgomery County Policy Summit, they will be addressing the issue of their green bank and what funding and what programs are available. Now, one thing that's very, very important for our listening audience to understand is that if you plan to attend this event, once again, this event is going on as we speak. It's located at the Silver Spring Civic Building, which is located at One Veteran Place, downtown Silver Spring. There is a cost which for, if you are a member of the, one of these organizations that is sponsoring this thing, the Green Building Council or National Capital Region, there was a $45 cost to be an attendee at this event today. And if you're a non-member, it was $65. Many of the people who are sitting in this room, that will be sitting in that room today, will in fact be folks who are not of African American descent. I'm going to make it very, very plain, because this show is called Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. Many of the events that take place in the District of Columbia, there are very, very few African Americans attending these events because, first, they don't know about it. That is the mission of this show. This is what we do with this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. The undergirding factor of the economic problems in the United States of America for the African American community, we're not anti anybody, but we are speaking to issues of economics in this renewable infrastructure industry, energy industry, that impacts the black community based on the investment that we place in this energy industries and what we get out, which is little or no return on investment. We are basically played by our own politicians. in a lot of sources from a lot of standpoints. When you begin to look at developers, who are the ones who are able to take advantage of these type of programs, and they once they offer these programs, if you do not have African Americans who are commercial property owners, and as this lead-in spoke to who was the audience, target audience for this particular session today, it basically told you that the core audience will be building owners, property managers, energy contractors, and green building professionals working in the county and DMV area. Well, this is also applicable to the District of Columbia. This is the core target market for this green bank and for those 501c3 organizations that have received funding through the District of Columbia Department of Energy and Environment to run specific grants. Now, it's very, very important to understand that as one of the African-American radio media moguls, which is Dr. Kathy Hughes, thinks that her flagship station, WOL 1450 AM, always their slogan is, information is power. Well, without question, because if you don't, if you're not in the room, you're not getting the information, and you don't have any power. Because you can believe that I catch hell inviting people from the Anglo community on this platform to come on and just talk about the various programs and various projects that are impacting the black community, where their developers are coming in our community, taking commercial properties and residential properties and renovating these properties and taking advantage of these type of financing programs, which are gentrifying the Washington, D.C. and other cities around this country. And when you begin to look at the PACE program and you begin to look at where legislation is, that is why I've taken the time and on this platform to look at what is going on as relates to where we are with this particular show and bring that back to you in some form of a message which can connect with your everyday lives. Now, as we were indicating on our, as we started the show today, that it's very, very important for individuals to understand and know that when you begin to look at how things get done, you have to understand systems and how one overlaps and the applications are put in place. And when you develop these systems are set up for the whole to work in coordinates with the goals and objectives that they're trying to reach. And it's all about one goal, making money. And it's very, very, very disturbing as the Dr. Frazier says, when you don't understand economic literacy in America, because it's really not taught in our school systems, and that's by design. And I can speak to that issue because I spent almost 10 years in the D.C. public school system as a junior high school and high school teacher. And even though I was in the area of physical education, my background was in the administration area of recreation before when I was doing undergraduate work at Morgan State College at that time. We finished many, many years ago in the early 70s. And one of the things that you learn is if you don't have folks in your family talking about the economics of how things get done, then you don't know. So for many of us who are trying to get something done, you have to understand what it is you have to do in order to connect the dots. Now, as I was connecting the dots about the Green Bank of Washington, D.C., and how the Renewable Portfolio Standard Law, which was signed into law in 2016 with a 50% renewable portfolio standard, in 2019, fast forward, as I indicated, Mayor Bowser in January of this year signed into law the 2018 Renewable Portfolio Standard Law, which increased the renewable portfolio standards from 50% to 100%. When you begin to drill down and look at the 100% Renewable Portfolio Standard Law, you find out there is some major, 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 major issues. Now, I was supposed to be being joined by Mr. Thomas Cameron today, and he indicated he had the number, but I think he was calling me on my phone to get the call-in number. Well, once again, let me give out that number. That number is 646-668-2948. That telephone number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after the dialing the call-in number. But I want to make sure that individuals understand the importance of why you need to attend these type of policy summits, which are put on by these local government agencies. They don't just do this just to do this. They do this because it's required by law in these counties and in these cities. And if you're not in those rooms, and I've been in those rooms covering these type of events, you find out there'll be very, very few people of African American descent in these rooms are people of color, period. And when you see a few of us there, most of us have bought into the illusion of inclusion, and we don't really communicate with each other. So what I try to do is reach out from a perspective of where we are as a media-driven organization with the program to let people know about this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, and we invite individuals on this platform to get this information out to our community so that they will understand what is going on in the marketplace, because people look around and they see all this construction going on. It's not coming out of thin air, but the financing of that is not coming out of thin air either. Now, to address that area of concern, in February of this year, the American Association of Blacks in Energy had a policy summit here in Washington, D.C. on the 26th. It was a fly-in date where We walked the halls of Congress, and we met with various congressmen about various issues. And one of the issues this year was about the lack of the so-called diversity. I say the lack of black folks not being hired in this renewable energy industry. And one of the things that I would beat the drum around is that nobody's going to take care of you, as the late Dr. Calvin Rawlock has always indicated, was someone who I have a great deal of respect for, who founded the Washington Informer newspaper. The only folks going to save us is us, black folks. Now, you can believe that, and you can believe that when you begin to drill down and look at who are the largest employers of the Hispanic community will be Hispanic businesses. The largest employers of Jewish community is the Jewish community. The largest employer of the Italian community is the Italian community, because they have created businesses. Well, where are our businesses? They're non-existent, damn near. In this renewable energy industry, when you begin to break down and look at information put out by organizations such as the Solar Foundation that receives your tax dollars to look at the number of solar installation and development companies in this country, installation companies, you only have over 9,000 companies. You have less than 25 African American solar installation and development companies doing business in the United States, which is to me is more than just a shame. It's an economic recipe for economic genocide in this country, because there's billions of dollars being pumped in this industry from the private sector. This money comes from the Wall Streets. It comes from your banks and your insurance companies. Guess what? African Americans, we spend over $1.3 trillion in this economy. But it's based on us being marginalized. Dr. Claude Anderson speaks to these issues in his book, Black Labor, White Wealth. He also speaks to these issues in his new book, Powernomics. He also lays out a plan of what we need to do, but you have to be in the room to get the information. Where you reside on these programs to take advantage of that information, put together a plan of action, and move on it with that plan of action. Okay? Because if you don't have a plan, then you plan to fail. And that's what you find that's going on, because our education model at our historically black colleges are set up to design our young people to go to school, get a degree, and come out and beg somebody else for a J-O-B, which is a job, which is a recipe. Believe me, because education is important. But if it's not educating you and training you on how to come out and do something for yourself, it's damn near a waste of time. So these are the things that we see and the information that we try to bring on a weekly basis. Now, we will be taking a pause for the cause here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we'll get back to you, and we always try to bring you news that you can definitely...
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it?
palm of your hand. Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to the airways of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Well, we haven't been joined by Mr. Corbin, but I'm going to switch gears now, and we want to go ahead and look at some other topics that we want to discuss with you today. And there are a number of programs being offered in the District of Columbia. And one of these programs is the D.C. Historically Homeowners Grant Program. Now, the submission for this grant program was actually February 11, 2019. And the reason why I invited Mr. Corbin on the show is because he's one of the individuals who lived in one of the historic neighborhoods in Washington, D.C., who actually applied for the grant. Now, the grants are available to low and moderate income households living in specific historic districts in the District of Columbia. Grants may be up to a maximum of $25,000 each, except in Anacostia, the historic district, where the maximum is $35,000. There are three historic districts, Emerald Street, Kingman Park, and Wardman Park Flats, which have been added to the historic district register in the nation's capital. The following historic districts are still eligible for this particular grant: the Anacostia community, Blagdon Alley, Naylor Court, Capitol Hill, 14th Street Quarter, Detroit Park, Mount Pleasant, Mount Vernon Square, Mount Vernon Square Triangle, Shaw, Shriver's Section, U Street, and Tacoma Park. Those are the historic districts in the District of Columbia that are eligible for that specific grant. And if we are joined by Mr. Corbin before our broadcast ends today, we'll be able to fill in, as we say, the dots. But we're going to move on with our show today because we have some issues that we like to discuss, because and how this impacts nationally. Now, as I was indicating at the top of the hour when we were talking about the PACE program, I want people to know that you can log on to our website at Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in Cat, .com. And you can click on our News and Events tab, and it will provide that information for you. But right now, we're going to talk about something that's going on in North Carolina, talking Duke Energy, North Carolina, coal and ash pond extractions ordered by the courts can cost up to $5 billion. Now, this is an article which was authored by Catherine Morehouse. It was published on April 2nd, 2019 in Utility Dive, because we always like to give credit where credit is due. Now, it's in the Dive Brief online. The North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, on Monday ordered Duke Energy to completely all of its coal and ash ponds in the state. Meanwhile, while 8 of the utility 14 plant sites in North Carolina have been slated for full excavation and enclosure, the fate of the final 6 in their 11 ponds remain unknown until Monday. The closures were ordered by a rigorous scientific review from the DEQ, and the public input from nearby communities concluding the excavations is the only way to protect public health and environment, the DEQ said. One of the 6 plants covered in the order is the Allen plant, which was named the second most polluted in the country in a national report by Earth Justice and Coal Ash Pollution. Duke now has 4 months to file a plan with the regulators on how it will comply with the order. This is some serious stuff, folks. Duke is spending billions to address the coal ash pollution as its North Carolina coal plants and will now have to spend several billions more. The decision by North Carolina regulators echoes similar directives from state leaders and utilities in Virginia and Georgia, representing winds for environmentalists who argue the only safe way to protect groundwater and from coal ash is to fully excavate the ponds and move the ash to plastic-lined pits to recycle it. Most utilities prefer to cap it in the place method. We believe that the science of the engineering support that capping it is of the environment, the Director of Policy and Environment Communications for Duke Energy, Pei Sheehan, told Utility Dive. And that's the analysis that we have submitted to the state, she added. Following the spill of more than 39,000 tons of coal ash from the utility's Dan River plant in 2014, North Carolina lawmakers passed the Coal Ash Management Act, amended in 2016 to direct the DEQ to examine the 6 of Duke's coal ash sites now slated for excavation and determine the next step. Monday's order indicates the department does not find Duke's cap in place closure plans sufficient for groundwater protection, and the utility has until August 1st to file a removal plan. Requirements by the state under the CAMA dictate 3 main closure options: excavation, disposable into line landfill caps in place method, and closure in accordance with the Federal Coal Combustion Residual Rules, CCR, which did not necessitate the lining but have mandates on monitoring how far away the bottom of the basin is from the water aquifers. Last November, Duke compliance filings under the federal rule revealed that 24 of its 26 coal ash ponds were in violation of the CCR governing proposal of waste, including the basin's distance from the nearby aquifers. Ponds at the Allen plant is the second most polluted in the country, were found to be actively leaking cobalt more than five times above federal safety levels in surrounding groundwaters, along with eight other pollutants, including arsenic, selenium, and lithium. The only two ponds not in violation were fully excavated, and it provides a map. And when you begin to look at where these maps are, you know you can also look at where the black community lives. Wilmington. Have one near Wilmington. You have one off near Interstate 74. You have one near Charlotte. You got one near Spartanburg. You have one near Asheville that has been excavated. Now, Asheville is a very, very ups. It's located in the mountains in North Carolina. If you're familiar with the state of North Carolina, and there's a lot of wealth there. So when you can look and see where the two ponds have been excavated in North Carolina, it will tell you almost who lives there. These are the reasons why you need to be about going to these community meetings, regardless of where you may live, and looking at what is affecting your health. Across the Southeast and more, as time develops across the country, the industry standards now for addressing unlined coal ash pits is to remove the ash. Frank Holliman, the senior attorney for the Southern Environmental Law Center, told the Utility Dive nothing that the concerns over many of these sites in North Carolina. There is a proximity to the rivers and the waterways. This ash is being saturated in the water is going to continue to pollute the surrounding groundwater in which it sits, as well as the neighborhood creeks, rivers, lakes, and drinking water and reservoirs. Even if you cover it up with a synthetic cover and plant grass on top of it, because there's nothing getting the ash out of the ground, said Holliman. The remaining concern of the environmentalists and regulations with the cap in place method is that it leaves the bottom of the basin line in contact with the groundwater. And in many instances across the country, the heavy metal pollutants from the ash are leading out, seeping out of the ground. Around the site, Duke estimates the cost to comply with the new order will be $4 to $5 billion to the current $5.6 billion cleanup, covering construction and engineering as well as transportation and the actual waste, said Sheen. For some sites, closure could take over 30 years, she noted, and the closures will involve a mix of recycling, ash, and concrete, and excavation for removal. However, environmentalists also complain that utilities routinely overestimate the cost of removal. In Virginia, Dominion Energy initially reported removal costs would be between $2.5 billion and about $6.5 billion, while estimating the cap in the placement method would only cost $2 billion on the high end, after the utility was ordered by legislation to re-examine the numbers, it found the removal costs went down to $2.7 to $3.358 billion in a singular bid to recycle 45% of its coal ash over 15-year span, or $2.3 billion to $5.6 billion if multiple bidders were selected. Duke Energy has routinely exacerbated estimates of costs to fully excavate, said Holloman. What we have also seen is utilities, they're fighting against having to clean up the sites, greatly overstate the cost of excavating, the greatly understated cost of leaving ash where it is. The table below outlines Duke's November 2018 CCR against having to clean up the sites, greatly overstates the cost. Now, you can go to our website at www.positivechangepc.com. You can be able to look at the Allen plant. It gives you plant, number of basins, sites, complaints, federal CCR rules, and violations. And it's all there, folks. Now, when we began to look at what communities that this stuff is affecting, is all communities, but the close proximity of where these ash dumps are, that's what they are, and landfills are closer to communities of color. This is a national phenomenon. It's not by accident. Even though we spend over $1.something trillion in this country as consumers, it means nothing to these corporations. Until you have your own business infrastructure. Now, this renewable energy industry that is moving through this country, there is a large, large push because of climate change for the governments to move, and they're reacting to the natural disasters brought on by human activity with the environment. It's called global warming. It is a national disgrace that you would have 45's administration still pushing fossil fuels when it's costing billions of dollars in cleanup, where he could be supporting what Obama's administration put in place with the Sunshine Identity Initiative. He chooses to push back. Matter of fact, the congresswoman from New York, who originally hails from Puerto Rico, she talked about the callousness of 45 and his administration toward Puerto Rico, with the losing over 3,000 lives in last year's storms that hit the Caribbean. Now, everybody's talking about Puerto Rico. It gets more play, but the Virgin Islands goes basically unheard of and unmentioned. We, on this platform, try to look at the diaspora, and we try to keep it on a level playing field, give credit where credit is due, and if you are guilty of the crime, you got to do the time. So that's where we come from on this show. And when people are positioning themselves in a position to take advantage of situations because they have the jobs inside as staffers working on Capitol Hill, and they come out and set up companies and organizations to take advantage. And this was done not under 45's administration, this was done under 44 administration. So being that I'm looking at how the type of response that I get from the Office of Diversity and Inclusion from the Department of Energy, when we invite the head, James Campos, on February the 27th at the American Association Public Policy, American Association of Blacks and Energy Public Policy Summit, where he got up and talked about the Department of Energy's initiatives to bring more diversity into the energy, renewable energy area, and the different programs that they have, I responded by asking a question. Why is it that if you're going to engage the African-American community, why don't you come on my show, the one that you're listening to at present time? We've sent out invitations for him to be a guest on this show. I get a response back from Kelly Mitchell, senior advisor of the Office of Economic Impact and Diversity. African American sisters, nothing but a gatekeeper. Send me an email. Oh, he'll be on travel. Next week, I get an email. Oh, you need to redirect your request for media interview to Joe Blow over at the agency. I heard nothing since. I have called and followed up, but I'm not going to run them down or beg them to do anything. I want my listening audience to understand this is war, folks. This is war. Because you got folks who look just like me and you who are African American, say all they care about is them, their jobs, and their paycheck. And that's just the way it is. I call it what it is on this show. So we don't cover it up. If it's a duck, it's a duck. If it's a hawk, it's a hawk. If it's an eagle, it's an eagle. Birds of a feather seem somewhat try to flock together. So when I see folks running around of African-American descent, just like I offered an invitation to Mr. Willie Phillips, who is head of the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., to come on my show, I got no response from him until I asked the question at the Public Service Commission as it relates to going back to my earlier conversation talking about Biles assigning the renewable portfolio standard laws into law in D.C. when the Public Service Commission, which was established in 1913 by Congress to look out for the interest of consumer ratepayers in Washington, D.C., of utilities. They had oversight over communications, gas, and electric. And just recently this year, water was also put under their auspices. It says publicly, I know you've been trying to get me on your show. When he came off the panel, you might have thought he was trying out for the Olympics. He took off. So I don't bother Ms. McCoy at the Public Service Commission because that's her job. She is the so-called media person there, and her job is to make sure that she keeps those directors on point where they don't come on my show. Because we reach out based on the information we receive from them, asking them to come on and talk about why these decisions are being made. Now, as I was explaining earlier, that what has happened, we're in here in Washington, D.C., your nation's capital. The mayor signed the 2018 Renewable Portfolio Standard Law. Well, in 2016, when she signed the original legislation with a 50% renewable portfolio standard because of the shortfall of DC-based solar, DC ratepayers had to pay in 2016 $15 million extra for energy. In 2017, that jumped to $26.6 million. Now, that may not seem like a lot of money when you're talking about a city that has a multi-billion dollar budget. But when you get to talking about these compliance fees being paid by Pepco, who wrote a check, but their lawyers were at the table. We write the check. I had a privilege of speaking with some of the top officials at Pepco. And they've indicated to me, hey, this is nothing but a backdoor tax on our ratepayers. We, as Pepco, are a subsidiary of Exelon, which is a largest nuclear generator of energy in the United States of America. We also are diversified, and we own solar, large-scale farms, power plant farms, as well as wind farms. We can buy the credits, which are called, referred to, it takes 1,000 watts to make 1 kilowatt. Well, under the renewable portfolio standard law, Pepco is required to buy from their customer base these credits, but that has to be generated from residents who have installed solar systems on their roofs. And for that energy that's generated by that system that's on that customer's roof, we have installed smart meters. All the energy that's not used goes back into the grid. Well, that energy has a monetary value, and it's referred to as extracts. These credits are very valuable in the District of Columbia because of the shortfall, because they don't have enough space, nor do you have enough systems on the rooftops on those properties that have roofs that are in good enough repair that solar can be installed. And in wards 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8, a lot of the residential homeowners there who are baby boomers who own these homes, they don't have the money to come out of their pocket to pay their roofs. So that even though the city has a program called Solar for All, which most of African Americans, based on their area median income, the AMI, 80% can't qualify for the program, but if your roof is in disrepair, it's only $1,500. I had the director of the DC SEU come on this show, Solar Now in the Future, and said, well, from the Solar for All funding, which comes out of the Department of Energy and Environment in 2017-18, is approximately $13 million. He indicated that their budget had been increased for fiscal year 18-19, and they went from having about a $10 million budget to $33 million. So there's more money in the budget, but the Solar for All funds, which I was told by contacting Councilwoman Mary Shea's office, who has oversight on the D.C. City Council or environment, that funding from the Solar for All program can be used for rooftop repair. Well, you go to housing. It's supposed to be funding over there and find out that they've got a 2-year waiting list for folks who have applied for funding from D.C. Department of Housing for rooftop repair assistance. So when we begin to drill down and look at what happens, in the meantime, remember I was talking about the Green Bank? Well, this report that came out that was commissioned by Tommy Wells, the director of the Department of Energy and Environment, they asked for $100 million to fund or capitalize the Green Bank over the next 10 years. The former head of the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., Ms. Betty Ann Kane, indicated that in her testimony on October the 9th, 2018, in front of Councilwoman Mary Shea, look, we run the numbers. We found out that the Department of Energy and Environment, they're going to raise $151.6 million more than they need. They asked for $100 million. They're going to raise $256 million. Guess who, where that money comes from? That comes from D.C. ratepayers, because when PEPCO writes the check, the way that the legislation is written, they're able to pass those costs on to their customer base in the form of compliance fees. It's on the water bill. It's called the clean water fee. It's on your gas and electric bills. Folks, this is no joke. This is very important because Washington, D.C., what we call a test tube baby. When you begin to look at issues of what happens in Washington, D.C., you'll find that it serves as a model and it goes around the nation. We're going to take another pause for the cause here on Solar Now.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact. We're not going to be redundant and keep beating the drum because we're getting ready to move on to another segment of our show, which we always like to do under our news and events section of our program. But it's very, very important to understand that whether you are aware of it or not, folks who don't look like you, we'll find out a way to make you pay for things that they can take advantage of to enrich themselves and their communities. African-American folk, our community. But the dissemination of information is what's important. And this information must not be important because as I've reached out for and applied for an engagement grant with the Department of Energy and Environment in Washington, D.C., and I was told, oh, you weren't selected for the grant. Well, I know I wasn't selected, but when were you going to tell me? Even though I've had members from DOEE to come on the show to talk about the Solar for All program, I reached back out to them, and they've decided, okay, we're not going to have anyone to go on his show. Because they know if they come on this show and they talk about the issues that I bring to the forefront, it adds more credibility to this platform. This is an issue you have when you are dealing with crabs in a bucket, burrow mentality in the black community. Somebody must be afraid of this microphone I'm sitting behind and the person who's behind the microphone. But I guess what? It's not Halloween, and I don't wear a costume. So y'all might as well get ready, because we're going to keep speaking truth to so-called power. Because when you come and ask me, and I got to pay bills that's contributing to my own demise and the own removal of black folk from black communities, because this is how y'all want to play the game. Well, we've sat down and come up with a plan of action and a strategy and a plan. That is what you're listening to right now. It's called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. And it is impacting our community without question. I'm often asked to go to events and come here and come there. Everybody's there, it's being paid except me. Well, freedom ain't free. So I would like to say to my listening audience, we are still working on logistical issues with our website right now. We hope to have our GoFundMe link back up and active. But you can go to our website, because there's an old saying, you know, freedom ain't free, okay? So what we have basically done is looked at how do we go about getting this information out to the African-American community, because this is the issue, without question. This is the issue. We can jump up and down all day long. And you, as Reverend Shopton said, you used to get mad because that's what folks want you to do. They want you to get mad, upset, and that's what we want to do. Keep them emotional so they're not thinking about what they need to do to be about it. And we don't talk it, we walk it. And that's what you are listening to on this show as we are speaking to you about that. But we have established a GoFundMe site, and we are working very, very hard to bring that information to you to address the issue of how we are going to get this information on other platforms in order to be able to bring this to your attention. Now, it's very, very important that you understand how this plays out. Very, very important that you understand how this plays out. So what we're doing right now is taking the time to share with you where you can go if you'd like to contribute to this show. And we are working very diligently to make sure that this takes place. And you can believe that when I say to you that we are and will continue to do this because we do what we do. And that is how you get it done. You do it. You don't talk it, you walk it. So with that being said, I will be providing that information to you on how you can go to our GoFundMe link, and I'll provide that information to you before we're off the airways of this show today here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So if you need to, once again, be able to donate to our campaign, we do have a GoFundMe campaign going on as we speak. All right? Now, you can reach us by calling. Most of you know the call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, you can reach us by calling 646-668-2948. And as we move forward with this program, as I've indicated, we often have to take a pause for the calls here on the show where we can gather some
life is a song worth singing. I can too sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And as we indicated, if you're interested in supporting this platform, you can type into your browser PCPCHBCU Solar Radio Initiative. That's PCPCHBCU Solar Radio Initiative, and that will lead you to our GoFundMe link campaign, and you'll be able to go there and get the information you need to support this platform. And we are very, very appreciative to those few who have supported this platform in the past, and we will hope that we're bringing you information that you find valuable enough to support what we're doing with this show. So as we move this initiative forward, we hope that, once again, that you will take the time to go to our website, check out what we're doing, and become a contributor to the show, because that's the only way this is going to happen, folks. You make it happen, just like I make it happen. But I can't do it. As a little boy said, you can't do it by yourself. So as we work every day to make sure that this show comes on air ways every Wednesday, which we do, we want to make sure that our community understands what we are trying to do on this program and what we do on the program, and we hope that the information that we bring to you is something that you feel that you want to support. Because if it doesn't mean anything, then I might as well stop trying to bring it to you. That's the bottom line. And I listen to a lot of the programming that I hear on Mrs. Hughes Network, because I'm an avid listener and supporter of the show. But sometimes it's very hard for me to, as a little boy says, sort of hard for me to listen to it when I know for a fact that the information that we are bringing to the show and we bring our audience every day is information that they need. It ain't what they want, it's what they need. Now, This show serves as a national platform for black American consumers that will be affected by federal, state, and municipal mandates. And that's what's happening right now as we speak about legislation. Because as we talked about the residential and commercial PACE programs, and I gave you that website, the PACE program, it's called PACE, P-A-C-E Nation, N-A-T-I-O-N, .us/PACE programs. When you begin to look at every county on this map, it will give you all 33 counties where these 33 states where this program has been initiated, really 20 states plus the District of Columbia, where this program has been implemented, but it's actually legislation is active in 36 states. But when you begin to look at this national map on commercial PACE, for example, you'll see Washington, you'll see Montana, Idaho, Nevada, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Kansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina. When you look down at the map, it gives you active programs with funded projects. It breaks that down. And you'll see you got California, Texas, Florida, Colorado, North Dakota, Missouri, Kentucky, Ohio. It becomes clear where regulation is and deregulation. Deregulation is not good as it applies to black folks. But even though when you have regulation, if you're not in these meetings looking out for your interests, even though you may have regulation, folks who do not look like me will take advantage of your community with this legislation. Because once this PACE programs are passed and these ordinances are passed in these counties and states, because each county can do what they want to do inside the state. This is not something that's done on a state level, but it can be statewide. It can be passed statewide, but it doesn't have to be implemented statewide. It's implemented by each county. When you begin to look at residential, and let's talk about the residential side. The residential side is very, very important because we know that all of the money is going in the commercial side. And money always dictates where things are going to go. The developers have to go and work on projects where there's financing. They don't have the money to do it, even though they're the developers. And they have resources. They're in business to make money as infrastructure developers, whether it be design or actually installation companies. So the financing. So when you look on the residential side, you'll find only three states has actually implemented residential PACE where you have active programs: California, Missouri, and Florida. And you only have in the state of California 11 counties in the whole state of California, the whole state of Missouri 3, and the whole state of Florida 4. When you begin to look at, we know that black folks are basically on your East Coast, in your Southwest, And when we're speaking about African Americans, folks of African American descent living in this country, when you've been looking at Pennsylvania, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, these states have, this is where 55% of the African American population resides. Outside of California and Florida, you don't have a hell of a lot of African Americans living in a lot of, in the middle of this, in the United States of America. You will find out there is no implementation of residential pace. The programs are enabled in there. The map will show you that. It will say PACE enabled, PACE programs in development, PACE programs launched, active programs funded projects. For residential, it's not there. The residential is the most important thing for African Americans because that's all a lot of us have, our homes. That is our business. The biggest thing that we are, and most valuable asset we have are our homes. You do not have the legislation ordinance passed in your county. You need to be about the work of getting up to speed. I say on this show that this platform is trying to get the African American community nationally on pace, about pace. This is passed by Congress. This is the infrastructure, financing infrastructure vehicle, which billions of dollars that come from your retirement, from your bank. For example, Tim Sloan, the former head of, who is getting ready to step down, I guess he's still leading Wells Fargo Bank, where I've got three accounts there. I'm not going to see a hell of a lot in them, but I've still got three banking accounts with Wells Fargo Bank. Indicated here in Washington, D.C. in January at the U.S. Mayor's 87th Winter Conference that Wells Fargo Green Initiative has invested over $20 billion in the past 5 years through the Green Initiative. Over the next 10 years, they're going to invest $200 billion. We ain't talking million, we're talking billions of dollars. That's just one lending source. I met with another company here in the DMV market area who indicated they had $300 million to invest in renewable energy infrastructure in this country. They weren't going to put a dime in residential, only in commercial. So it behooves our communities to get up to pace and informed and educated about that. This is where I have a problem with black-owned media. For me to be on this platform for over a year, broadcasting over the airways of Blog Talk Radio, streaming over Facebook and Twitter, and I can't even get on talk show programs to talk about the information that I'm disseminating to you at the present time is not valuable enough. But what happens to Jesse Malott is BS. I don't know any other way to talk about it. Emotional stuff. They know how to keep us distracted. We have a master of that in 45. I call him the master of deception and distractions. Black folks, we live in a capitalistic system. Dr. Frazier talks about this. You can Google him on YouTube and listen to some of his lectures. We have to be about the business of being about business. We didn't pick where we were born at. we were born in this system, but you can damn believe one thing. Wherever you go in the world, the United States of America system, even though we know it is one of that racism is alive and well, embedded and cloaked in capitalism, is in all aspects of life, even in the entertainment segment. Our kids are running up and down these courts right now, generating billions of dollars at these historically white colleges and universities. They don't really love them. They love what they are generating. And everybody talks about, oh, the Final Four and hopes and dreams and this, that, and the other. Man, let me tell you, it's the next one up. So we have to understand in time and space. That's why one of the reasons why I respect Calipari at Kentucky. He says one and done. He started that. If a kid has got the talent and he can go to the NBA and he can take his family from rags to riches, son, go ahead and take care of your family. Kentucky will be fine. I'll be fine. We got a pipeline. This is what it's about, folks. This is a pipeline, an opportunity that our community cannot afford to lose out on, which is this renewable energy infrastructure movement moving in this country. And in order to be a player in the game, you got to get the blood flow, which is the cash. And if you're not up on this PACE program, which is passed by your legislatures, which is allowed the private sector to invest these billions of dollars, which is a lot of that's coming right out of your IRA and your retirement and your banks. This is our money just as much as anybody else's in this economy. And why in the hell should we be left out? This is the challenge. Folks, my time is up. I've been on soapbox for an hour and a half today. Mr. Corbin did not join me. When I speak to him, I know it'll be a reason why he couldn't join me. So I'm not going to beat up on anybody. As we always say, we can invite people, but we can't make anybody do anything. But I want to let you know, I'm committed to you if you will commit to me. And once again, we hope that we bought you news that you can definitely use. So until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.